Hallelujah, God is good, amen. It's Shabbat Ki Tavor when you come into, in fact, coming into the land, the whole portion here, the Torah portion today came from Devarim chapter 26, that was 16 through to 19, and for the Haftarah was Isaiah, Yeshua 60, 15 through to 22, all those encouraging verses through Isaiah. Through this month of Elul, as always in the traditions, to lead us up to the High Holy Days. And from the Messianic writings, that came from the, what we can only translate really as an open letter to all Jews. It's been translated as Hebrews, but that doesn't really kind of address the audience really in that way. Strange translation possibly there, but anyways, open letter to the whole Jewish community. And it's in chapter 3, and it was 16 through to 19, and chapter 4, 11 through to 13 as well. And it struck me actually as we were listening to that portion there from the letter of Hebrews, which comes, it may possibly come as quite a shock to most people in the Jewish community. If you're Jewish today and watching this, and maybe for the first time, the first shock, of course, is maybe that it's not just the Torah and a half Torah, but we have the Messianic writings added too. That may be the first shock. The second shock is as you listen to something like that from the letter of Hebrews, just how absolutely Jewish it is. You can't avoid it. This is not just in the letter of Hebrews. Honestly, if you read, if you're watching today, you've maybe never picked up the Messianic writings, or as it's sometimes otherwise known as the New Testament. If you've never read it, pick one up and read it. You will be astonished. As a Jewish person, you will be astonished to read just how Jewish it is. It is Judaism. It's nothing else. It's not Christianity. It is Judaism. That's all it's ever been. In all the letters and the good news that we have there, it's fully Jewish in every which way. And it's lovely to pick out a bit like this, which is relevant to this portion, which clearly, as the writer who wrote that letter, whoever it may be, is really focusing on to bring out more understanding and focus in this letter. That's what I want to drill down to today in that portion. And it all begins really with a very simple question. When? When? Some of the most important moments in our lives are not what, or how, or even where, as consequential as all of those can be, one of the most important moments and questions we bring into our life often is when. When did something happen? What was important about that moment? I mean, take a step back and ask yourself the question, because it's one we cover in our Gateway course and elsewhere in our teachings as well. When did you become you? When? When was that moment? Do you know? Conception? Preconception in the mind of God in eternity? Is that when you became you? Or was it at birth? Adolescence? Maybe your bar bat mitzvah? Adulthood? Marriage? Maybe some of you are sitting there thinking right now, well, actually, Rabbi, I've still not arrived. I don't know whether I'm me yet. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that was my response when I was asking myself the question. Actually, I don't know. Have I arrived? I don't know. Maybe, you know, in 10 years' time, I'll look back and think, goodness, I thought I was fully me 10 years ago. But now I realize it's now. And then a week later, I'll be going, goodness, look at what I've learned in the last week. Do we ever arrive at being you? And yet, I'm going to put a date on it. For myself, I'm going to put a date on it. I'm going to be a little bit stroppy and say, I think I know when I became me. I was 17 when I became me. And it was the day I encountered the Lord. The day Yeshua and I met. And I encountered the risen Lord, I encountered the living God of Israel. The day when I became fully human, functioning not just in the physical realm of waking up, working and eating and studying, whatever, not just the physical aspects, all human beings function on that level. The day I became me was the day the spirit in me awoke and became aware of the presence of God, and I knew that I was more than just this. The day I became me, fully functional, the creational me as conceived by the Lord, filled out as a life of fullness and purpose and meaning, rather than thinking I had no meaning, no purpose in life, I was just there. I've been brought into this world by my parents, and there I was just existing until the moment I die, which is the sad bottom line for so many people in their lives. But that day became that purposeful, meaningful day. I knew I was here for a reason in the Lord, conceived by Him in that sense. We have these days, these moments, don't we, in time, important transitional moments. And I want to read about a moment for Israel in a similar kind of vein here today. And it comes from our portion, and it's Devarim 27 and 9 to 10. Then Moshe and the priests and the Levites spoke to all Israel, saying, "Take heed and listen, O Israel." Or we could say, "Shema, Yisrael." Hear, listen now, take heed and listen. "This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe His commandments and His statutes which I command you this day." This day you have become the people of God. It's a powerful statement. It's a meta-narrative, if you want to use the kind of traditional jargon around this. The meta-narrative giving us the foundational myth and story of Israel and the beginnings of Israel and so on. However you want to see it, in those ways, there's many ways to see this. But what we are looking at here is the full-blown establishment of Israel. And it says, "This day you have become the people of God." It's a powerful moment in history. If you want to put it in that way. Most people read this verse, "Hayom Hazeh," this day you have become the people of God. And you know, there's more than one way to read a sentence, isn't there? The crucial point, it seems, in that sentence is, "This day you have become the people of God." And yet there are other ways of passing that sentence and emphasizing it in different ways, as if that moment was the crucial point. And on one level, it was the crucial point for Israel, but I want to put it to you today, on another level, it was not. For the "today" focus in that verse brings the national birth identity to the front, an identity that is connected with, as we read it there, "you will observe His commandments and His statutes this day." An identity is formed and framed that day, as it were. "Today you have become my people," with the mitzvot, the obedience, which is the focus according to verse 10. It's a moment in time that is definitional for Israel as the nation, as it's binding to Moshe and the Torah, as if these two companions were the point of Israel. "Today you have become the people of God." Today, this is what it's all about, people. Today, it's about the Torah. It's about Moshe. That's the focus. And today you have become the people of God, because that seems to be the focus, isn't it? Why? We know that because there are other verses in there again. "Today, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts," and so on. And we're used to reading these verses in this way, as if the moment, the when, that time point is the most critical point of it all. And if it is, then the critical point there is linked with the Torah and with Moshe, and that is the point that makes Israel, Israel. That day you become a nation, because that day Torah becomes fully yours. Your inheritance of who you are, the point of Israel, is the Torah. Today, Hayom Hazeh. But I want to put it to you, is that right? So that's the way we're meant to be reading these verses here. Did Israel only come into existence that day? It's an interesting question, isn't it, when you think about it in this way. Because on a bald reading of it, today you have become, it seems very obvious, doesn't it really? That seems to be what the verse is saying. Today, this day you've become Israel. Did Israel have no history before that moment? What about everything that had gone on before? Was it irrelevant? Was it nothing? Could be just discounted in some way and taken away? The exodus from Egypt, the giving of the Torah at Sinai, the joining together of the Hebrews with those from the nations who had converted and joined the people of God in Egypt, who come in and entered into the houses and left with Israel that day. All of this is truly definitional for Israel. Truly it is. You can't avoid it. We do this at Passover every year. We remind ourselves the giving of the Torah written into our festivals and our the rhythms of our calendars. They are all there, right, seated there, that we cannot miss them all. And yet, a verse like this seems to cover up so much, actually, that it struck me quite powerfully when I read it. I thought, surely not this day. You've become the people of God. It seems to me actually that this is an issue which Shaul was even trying to deal with in the first century. Little hints of this, I think, as we go through the Messianic writings. Look at Acts 15:1, for example. It's talking about how do you get saved. And there's people there saying, no, you have to get saved according to Moshe, and circumcision it is that saves you, and so on and so on. You know, there's a little bits, little hints in the text here which kind of throw up suggestions that this focus for Israel has become so Torah-centric, so Moshe-centric. That moment in history, it is that defines us as a nation and nothing else. And hallelujah, because you know what? The Torah is important. The commandments are important. Well, the commandments certainly are the core obedience for Israel. They are important, they are necessary, and obedience to God is vital in our spiritual walk and in our lives. But is that it? Is that the day, the moment by which we are to be defined for all history, is the receiving of the Torah and living out the commandments? Is that it? That moment, the when we become a nation. The when of it all, the timing of it all. Yes, it's certainly a major part of our national endeavour. But is that all? Let me reread it again. And I'm going to change the emphasis this time out. Previous one, I said, take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you've become the people of the Lord your God. I'm going to read it again. Take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of God. You have become the people of God. The day we come out and everything is happening around us, there's a moment in history, and all those moments in history are important. As I started saying at the beginning, they're not unimportant. But if you can shift the emphasis somehow away from all that. Even if I go back to my old 17-year-old me, what was important about that day? Was it the day I met Yeshua? Or was it what happened on that day that was important? I want to put it to you, the day was irrelevant. I can't even remember whether it was a Friday, a Tuesday, or a Monday. I've got no idea. I didn't even mark it in my diary at the time. On many levels, it isn't important. What was important that day was what happened to me in the Lord. That's what changed everything. Today you have become the people of God. Not them, you. He says you. Now the focus is on you, not today. Everything seems to shift and seems to change in all of this. Your focus is now not on the time, the when, but the people, you. Yes, it was on that day. Of course it was. That was a moment in time to be marked. Moshe's point is quite simply this, as I said to myself in my thinking of my 17-year-old me, something happened that day to the people that is now defining them going forward. And it would be easy, would it not, to say, well, what's defining the rabbi that day? Is they've got the Torah now. That's what's defining them. That's the you. But I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure, because the Torah was given as a gift to the nation. It's still something outside of the people. It's on the tablets. It's there being carried. That's just receiving something from the Lord. You know what? You can receive a present from someone, and it doesn't fundamentally change you. Receiving the commandments of Adonai in itself does not fundamentally change you. I can take those scrolls home and I can hug them as tight as I want to my heart and my being and my mind all day and all night long, and a week later I will not be a different person. Except that my arms will ache. Right? We're talking about something else here. A real change in the people. You, he says, you have become the people of God in a way that you were not before. Yes, the Torah was given to our nation. Hallelujah. And it was wonderful. He says there's been a qualitative change in you at that point where something has happened to them. We need a key to unlock it. We need to find out what that is. Why is it that today you have become the people of God today in a way that previously you were not? Because clearly, Israel was always the people of God and always have been. Right? On one level, that hasn't changed. The covenants that have gone before and everything else, nothing has changed on the basis of all of that. And yet something has changed with the people that day today. You have become the people of God. And what is the key? It's quite simply this. The people that day were standing at the borders of the land and about to enter it, weren't they? We've got right to the end of Devarim. We saw today, we were lifting up the scroll, that everything is just on one side now. It's all become lopsided yet again. We're almost at the end of Devarim. They're entering the land. Something has changed. Being defined as the people of God, something new about them. And we turn to Hebrews, as we heard there this morning, as it's unpacked. As the writer of the Hebrews says, there was something about the people then. Let's go back in for another quick look at this. This is in Hebrews 3. Because it's quite important, the statement that is made here, that's been handed down to us. This is 16 to 19 again. But who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moshe? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Now you could leave it there, and you'd be left with the idea that all it was obedience that was the key to get them over the border into the land. But it goes on. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief or a lack of trust, or as it's been translated, they didn't have faith. It's critical, because it doesn't just leave it, they did not obey. The writer goes on to make it clear why they were not obeying. The people, the nation, did not have the faith. This is critical. Because, you know, when you go back through the history here, you know, we've read it in not that long ago. The people in the wilderness, they could have been in the land within a couple of months of leaving Egypt. It's not that far away. Instead, it took 40 years. Why did it take 40 years? Because the people lacked the faith to enter in. That's what the Torah says. Now, you can have as much obedience as you want. And we want to have obedience, and obedience is good. We have to obey the Lord. But you know, it's not just that. Those who did not obey, they did not obey because they did not have faith. To keep the commandments without faith in that way actually illustrates a lack of obedience. And it prevented the people from entering into the land. It wasn't the fact of keeping on, doing the Torah and so on and whatever and ticking the boxes and everything is right. Yeah, okay, you've done that, good, in you go. What prevented it was a lack of faith. It was a lack of faith the first time round. And now we're standing at the borders again. And it was only faith that was going to get us across that river and into the land. Not our obedience to Torah. It was faith that was going to get us to enter in. That's what the scriptures say, make it very, very clear. The wonderful thing is, this time round, after 40 years, do the people enter in? Yes, they do. Something has changed, hasn't it? The first time round, the people had no faith. The second time round, after 40 years, now the people are in faith. Now they have that faith in the Lord and the Lord's promises of the land and Israel. Now they're standing at the border, and then it says, Moshe says to them quite clearly, today you have become the people of the Lord your God. You have finally, he says, you finally become the people of the Lord, because today you've got the faith which you need to enter into the land. It's not just about keeping the commandments. And in case you were left in any doubt about that, if you understand these verses this way, in connection with that bit there in Hebrews, this day you have become the people of the Lord your God, therefore you shall obey his commandments. Notice, please, the order. First comes the faith, therefore you will obey his commandments. That's what the Torah really makes clear. You can't enter into the land unless you have faith, and you can't even begin to keep the commandments unless you have faith. And you can try, of course, you can do whatever you want. You can, people do, they keep Shabbat and so on, but they don't do it in faith, but they do it because they think that's what's on the page they've got to do, and they try and work it out, and they devise all kinds of systems and devices and define this and define that. You can do that as much as you want. Unless you have faith, then you will fail in keeping the Shabbat. It's faith which is needed. It's faith which is that position which takes you over the line to actually obey God and say, you know what, I'm not going to do any work today. I'm not going to do X, I'm not going to do Y, I'm not going to dodge that and twist around that and find a way around that to make sure I can do what I can do. That is not faith. That's just doing what you want to do. And there are plenty of examples of that, of twisting things this way and that way and doing what you need to do or want to do. Faith, it is, that says, I choose, I will not work on Shabbat. Or faith it is that I will choose to do X and not Y in whichever commandment that it is. Faith is the bit that is the therefore you shall obey the commandments of the Lord. Faith it is that takes you in. So when Moshe says to the people today, today you have become the people of God, he says, I can see now you have faith in God. And that is what will carry you over the line. Not any checklists, not any tick lists, not any this, that and the other. Look, Lord, we did this, we did that. That is not going to get you over the line. He's looking at your faith. Do you trust God? That's what it's about. Emunah. That trust, that faith. That thing that rises up in your spirit says, yes, Lord, I believe you are true and you are right and what you say is good and I will trust you in it, even though the things my eyes can see in the world around me may be screaming at me the complete opposite. I will trust you because your word is true. Your promise is good. Lack of faith stopped them entering the first time, and now faith it is that takes them over the line. This is, in case you think I'm making this up as a Messianic Jewish message here, read Numbers 14. It's that chapter says exactly the same thing as what I'm just telling you now. Numbers 14. It's not a new Messianic Jewish interpretation. This is exactly what the Torah says. If you don't have faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because all you're ever doing, you're doing your own thing. Under the guise of the commandments that he has given you, you're dressing it up for yourself to do what you want. That is not faith. It is faith alone that he is pleased with. It's the land that's ahead of the people here. And it's the land, of course, as we know, that is an inheritance based in the reality of the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that was cut on the basis of Abraham's faith. Faith takes you into the land that is the inheritance of the faith that Abraham had. It's all linked together. It is no wonder the people were not able to enter the land without faith. You have to have faith to live in the land. I'd put it to you today, you have to have faith to live in Israel. Truly you do. When the world hates us all, when the world is ganging up on us, denying us weapons, cutting off this and that and throwing everything in the kitchen sink beside, you have to have faith to live in Israel right now. Of course, sadly, as we know, there are many people who are leaving the land and going back to America and other places. It's just too much. And I don't want to be in any position of judgment on that. That is not what I'm trying to say. I deeply understand the trauma. But to live in the land, you need faith. You have to have faith. This small piece of real estate in the Middle East is being promised of God to Israel, to the Jewish people in perpetuity. It is an inheritance based on covenant. You've got to trust God to know that that is true and to live there. And if that trust is there and that faith is there, then you can live out the commandments in that place. To enter into the land, you need faith. And that is why Moshe says, today you have become. He knew the ancestry. You know, one of the things that always makes me smile about this is that, you know, if Moshe actually believed what he said that day, you know, today you have become the people of God. Well, I'm sorry, Moshe, you must have been asleep in your History of Israel 101 class. Because he surely must have known that Israel began with Abraham. He wasn't stupid, he knew. When he says, today you've become the people of God, he wasn't discounting all of that, he knew. So he must have been pointing at something else. He wasn't talking about the foundation story and narrative of what the nation is. But he says, you have become the nation. He says, you've become, as it were, little Abrahamites this day. You are the ones that are walking in the same way as our father Abraham walked, in faith. And suddenly we begin to understand that it is not the Torah and the commandments which is the foundational structure of what Israel is meant to be. It is not Moshe. Hallelujah. You know, thank you, Lord, for giving us Moshe. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the commandments. They in themselves are not definitional for what it means to be Israel. You know what is definitional to be Israel? Faith. Because that's where it started. Abraham didn't have the commandments. He heard God. God spoke to him. He said, you, come out. You, speaking to you, today, you are going to become my people. You, come out. You've got faith. And there's one little word in the Torah, which is the most awesome, beautiful words. It's the smallest words in the whole Torah in Genesis. But I love it to bits. When the Lord speaks to Abraham and calls him out. And you know what that word is? So. And it runs like this. So Abraham got up and left. So. That's trust. That's faith. That's belief and conviction in the power of God. God spoke, and Abraham's response was, so he did. That is faith. And you know, that is what it hinges on for us. As the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, it's not the Torah that is foundational for us. The Torah is good and we're meant to be obedient, but that is not the foundation stone upon which it is built. Look to the stone from whence you came, you were hewn. And that is Abraham, says the prophet. That's where it starts. That's the Jewish endeavor. It's all about faith. And it was faith that would get them over the line. The lack of faith kept them out. And that day, faith was the hallmark of each and every one. The nation that day had faith in God, and it lifted the commandments for them from being a theory, a religious philosophy, economic theory, all of these things. You can derive all of them from the Torah. But that faith lifted it beyond all of this to a lifestyle, a spiritual relationship with God. And that leaves us with one final thought in all of this. Today, you. This day, you. You know, there's a kind of timeless echo, isn't there, in that short phrase. This day, you. Each new generation stands at the borders of Israel. In their own lives, in their own faith walk, their own walk, their Jewish walk of faith, they stand, as it were, at the borders. Each generation does this. And you can be born into a Jewish family, you can grow up keeping Shabbat and going to synagogue and all of that is absolutely wonderful and fine. But for each Jewish person, a day comes when today you become part of the people of God. Yes, you're born into it, that's wonderful. But without faith, you don't cross over. Without faith, you don't enter in. Without faith, you're not part of the endeavor in that way, in the biggest, fullest way of understanding it. Each and every person needs to say, and me too, and cross over. To want to be in there. To reach out to God for that in faith, to say, this is who I want to be, this is my identity. In that way that when I was 17, it became my identity that day as well, fully becoming human. And we could say, fully becoming Jewish in that way, in the sense that Abraham crossed over and he becomes that fullness of that Jewish man in faith and trust and walks in the power and reality of the living God of Israel. Today you have become the people of God. And it may be that we've got people watching just thinking, well, I just grew up in this. I don't know. I've never really seen it in this way. And I want to just put it to you. Today you, will you reach out in faith to the Lord to make it yours? Faith has to be in there. And it's not just a generic faith. No, the scriptures are very clear about this. It's a faith in what God has promised to do. And part of that promise is to bring salvation to us as Israel. That salvation, of course, is in Yeshua. Today, you. It can be yours today for you. To be in, as it were, is to be in Israel. To be Israel. To be out is to remain in the wilderness. And that just reminded me, of course, of a sentence that Scholl wrote that has been so wildly misunderstood by the church and other people down the ages. He said, not all Israel is Israel. And that's been misunderstood as an anti-Semitic statement. It isn't. He's making it very clear here. If you have faith, then you are the fullness of what Israel is meant to be. I'm not saying if you don't have faith that you're not Israel. Of course you're part of descendants of Abraham. No one is saying that. Scholl never claimed that. But he's saying to be Israel is to have the faith that the Israelites had that day as they stood at the border of the land and entered in because they had faith. That's what brought the people of God in. That was the day they became the people of God because of faith. And will you embrace that ancient identity that through faith will carry you home? Because ultimately, it's your choice. Remember I said at the beginning, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That choice for faith is always there. But God is not going to force it on you. You have to open the door. If you open the door, Yeshua will enter in. That faith will carry you into the land, the kingdom of God, the reality of it here on earth in Israel. That is where we're meant to be. That is what this endeavor is all about, to be that nation of salvation that shines out to this lost and dark world. But it begins with faith. And that carries you home. Amen.